Welcome to the Voice of America Jazz Hour. This is David Boddington, Willis Conover's studio engineer from 1993 until his death, May 17th. At 23 hours Universal Time this evening, Thursday morning, VOA will broadcast a live 90-minute tribute concert in memory of Willis Conover. The program will be co-hosted by VOA Music Director Judy Massa and pianist Billy Taylor, and will feature performances by jazz greats Joe Williams, Charlie Bird, and others. Get ready with a pencil and paper. I'll give you the frequencies for this concert later in the program. As a prelude to that concert, this is the second of two programs looking at Willis Conover, the man and his music. Since Mr. Conover's death, I've searched his archives and come up with some of the great moments from Willis Conover's more than 40 years of hosting this program. In the next hour, we'll share these memories with you. Today, interviews by Willis Conover with three of the giants of the jazz era. First, from February 1956, Willis Conover's conversation with legendary jazz vocalist Billie Holiday.
I think I copied my style from Louis Armstrong, because I always liked the big volume and the big sound that Bessie Smith got when she sang. But when I was quite young, I heard a record Louis Armstrong made called the West End Blues, and he doesn't say any words, you know, and I thought, this is wonderful, you know, and I liked the feeling he got from it. So I wanted Louis Armstrong's feeling, and I wanted the big volume that Bessie Smith got, but I found that it didn't work with me because I didn't have a big voice, you know. So anyway, between the two of them, I sort of got Billie Holiday.
That's very interesting that the source of so much instrumental music was also the source of such great vocal music as yours, Louis Armstrong. What other musicians have had some sort of influence upon the development of your singing style?
Well, I like Lester Young. Always liked, Lester came much later in my life, but I liked Lester's feeling. You know, everyone, when he first started, thought this man, his tone is too thin, you know, a tenor sax, you know. Everybody thinks it has to be real big, and Lester used to go out of his mind getting reeds, you know, to sound big, like Chewberry, and he was very popular in those days, and I told him it doesn't matter because I said, you have a beautiful tone. I said, and you watch. After a while, everybody's going to be copying you. And it came to be, you know. And then, I made my first record with Benny. And Benny came to a little club in Harlem to hear me, the little cabin. At that time, he was not Benny Goodman. He was just another musician. He worked in a studio band and down NBC, and he came up one night, and he just thought I was wonderful, so he had a recording date under his own name, John Hammond. You must have heard of him. He's a music critic. And they thought I was it for the vocalist. And the funniest thing, I got there, and I was afraid to sing in the mic because I'd never saw a microphone before. And I said, why do I have to sing in that thing? Why can't I just sing like I do at the club? I'm scared to death of it. And Buck and Bubbles, Buck played the piano on that day. Can you imagine all those studio men and Buck, he can't read a note, he played the piano. Well, that's the way Benny is. He likes music. You don't have to read or write or anything. Just play it, you know. So Buck says, you're not going to let these people think you're square, are you? He says, come on, sing it. And I sang Your Mother's Son-in-Law, and on the other side was Riff and the Scotch.
So you were 15 years old then, weren't you?
No, I was 14.
I beg your pardon. Well, which of your records, Billy, give you more pleasure today? Or perhaps I should rephrase that. What different kinds of pleasure do you get from the earlier recordings and from the more recent records that you've made?
Well, I get a big bang out of Your Mother's Son-in-Law. It sounds like I'm doing comedy. My voice sounds so funny and high on there. And I sound like I'm about 3 years old. To me, I don't know. But the things that I don't like any of my records, to be truthful with you, because it's always something that you should have done, or you should have waited here, or you should have held that note longer, or you should have phrased, or you know how it is. So you're never really satisfied with your records. But the things that I like most, I think the things I've done with strings, or the ones, the real blues ones, you know, like Summertime, you know, the ones with no music at all, you know, where we were just relaxed. Like the things we did with Teddy Wilson and then Benny and Roy Eldridge. Now we had, I was with Count Basie's band at the time, and we had been on the road about 3 months doing one night, as you know, and that's pretty rough. And we had no time to rehearse anything, and we walked right in the studio, no music, and we made 6 great sides, you know. That's the kind I like.
Billy, you've recorded so many songs. Which of the songs that you have recorded did you compose yourself?
Oh, I did Billy's Blues, Finding Mella, and, let me tell you how I did Finding Mella. I was with McCaffrey Society downtown in the village, and we get up there to make these records, and all of a sudden we need one more side. So I says, I know, let's do a blues, and let's make the introduction like an organ growling, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you know. And right there, I made it all up right in the studio. And I did Don't Explain, and what else? A few more I can't think of. But Don't Explain, and I did that with a fellow named Razov, and he helped me with the lyrics. But gee, I'm very proud of that, because I think it's a pretty tune, and that's a rule, I can only write blues, you know. So I thought that Don't Explain, you know, was the end for me. Oh, and I did Your Mother's Son-in-Law. Don't let me forget that one, because I wrote that for my mother. And how it came about, I asked Mother for some money, and she flatly refused me. So I said, that's all right. God bless the child's got his own. I walked out, you know, and then it started stuck in my mind. And my piano player and I were fooling around the next day. I said, you know, that's a good title for a song. I said, well, maybe we'll have to make it kind of religious. So he says, no. So I write out the words, and we get the melody, we wrote the song. So I carried it to Marks Publishing. He thought it was wonderful, and right away he published it. So that's how we got God Bless the Child.
Are these your favorite records of those you've made, Billy?
No. No. The things, like I told you, the things that I made that I like never got popular, like Deep Song. You probably never heard it. It's a Decca. It never got popular. You're My Thrill. It is. I think it's got a beautiful background, the strings and the oboe, and it never got popular. Like Benny Goodman always says, like the Summer of the Spring I did. The song, nothing ever happened to it. It's the most beautiful thing I ever heard in my life. Teddy Wilson, Irene Wilson's wife, wrote it. And she got inspired when the night we were all playing up there, Benny Webster and Benny Carter, myself, and John Kirby, the bass player. We were at her apartment having a jam session there, and she had made some red beans and rice that night. And we were just sitting around playing, and she got inspired and wrote the tune. But like Benny says, that's not gonna, nothing's gonna happen with the tune, it's too beautiful. And he just didn't make sense to us, you know, but he was right. He says, maybe in years to come. Now, for instance, like Yesterday's, that's a tune that I recorded, and I loved it. But Benny was right, because, what was the show, Roberta? It came from Roberta, I think. Well, anyway, Only Have Eyes for You, that was popular. All the other tunes. Yesterday's, the most beautiful song in the show, is just starting to get popular now. So maybe Benny was right.
What other songs that you haven't recorded would you like to record someday, Billy?
Well, I don't know. I tell you a song I'd like to sing, and it doesn't have any lyrics to it, I don't think, and that's Al Walls. Davy Rose, da 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 da.
Yes.
You know, things like that. Something nobody else does.
Well, let's get away from the musical end of Billie Holiday for just a second, and ask how the name Lady Day came about.
Well, now that came about when Lester was and I were Count Basie's band, and Lester named me Lady Day, and he named my mother the Duchess, and there was Count Basie, so we were the royal family.
I see. Well, then how did the gardenia in the Billie Holiday hairdo become Billie's trademark?
Well, I've always loved gardenias, and one night I got very, very, how would you say it, when an artist gets, well, I don't know, it's a word for it. Anyway, I just wouldn't go on. I couldn't go on. I couldn't sing without my gardenia. So it became a trademark, and I just thought I couldn't sing if I didn't have a gardenia in my hair. And it had to be fresh.
You're no longer wearing the gardenia these days, though.
Well, no, I got over that. It was just a childish thing.
Lady Day, Billie Holiday, our in-person guest today on the Voice of America Jazz Hour. Thank you very much, Billie.
Thank you, Willis, for having me here.
Good morning, heartache, you old gloomy sight. Good morning, heartache, thought we said goodbye last night. I turned and tossed until it seemed you had gone. But here you are with the dawn. Wish I'd forget you, but you're here to stay. It seems I met you when my love went away. Now every day I start by saying to you, good morning, heartache, what's new? Stop haunting me now. Can't shake you no how. Just leave me alone. I've got those Monday blues, straight through Sunday blues. Good morning, heartache, here we go again. Good morning, heartache, you're the one who knew me when. Might as well get used to you hanging around. Good morning, heartache, sit down. Sunday blues. Good morning, heartache, here we go again. Good morning, heartache, you're the one who knew me when. Might as well get used to you hanging around. Good morning, heartache, sit down.
From a VOA broadcast in February 1956, jazz singer Billie Holiday and Good Morning Heartache. Let's turn the clock ahead to 1968. Willis Conover talks with Satchmo, Louis Armstrong.
Louis?
Yeah, Daddy, what'd you say there?
Happy when you're here.
Well, you know, it's always a good chat when we meet, you know. We dig so much in music. In you know so much about all these cats that plays good music, you know?
Learned it all from you, like everybody else.
Well, like all them boys that's in that jazz festival there. It was in New Orleans, wasn't that something?
Yeah, you broke it up.
About a month ago, yeah. That was at the Municipal Auditorium. And old Widow Hammond and Duke Ellington and Dave Brubeck and Gary Mulligan, Danny Boskin, and Santa Pecoraro, Paul Barbarin, George Lewis, Armin Hogg, and Shoggy. So you know that it was something there, Pops.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And then quite naturally, New Orleans has changed a lot since I was born, 1900. But I stayed there. I didn't leave till I was 19. With Fate Michael on the boats, and after about 9 or 10 years, I returned and fled to Suburban Garden, you know? And never forget opening night. It's out there by the levee, you know? 5,000 Negroes on that levee listening that opening night of ours. And there's white boys that I grew up with, there's all there, you know, grew up and took over there. Family's business and places like that. And man, the minute I walked right on that floor, you thought the walls was gonna be satchel. Oh boy. 20 minutes before I would open my mouth. And I start making my own announcements, you know, in those early days, you know, radio. I thought it was great. I had my own ball team, you know.
Well, Pops, you were born on July 4th, 1900 in New Orleans, and I'm wondering, how old were you before you stopped thinking they were shooting off firecrackers to celebrate your birthday?
Well, you mean stop thinking or start thinking?
Either way.
Because, I mean, they ain't never stopped. I mean, just they celebrate every year, New Year's Eve, and if you got an old shotgun or anything, you just go in the backyard and blaze away. Oh, they have a lot of fun down there during the holidays, as far as that's concerned, you know.
Well, fun in New Orleans is a bare necessity, isn't it?
That's right. That's the number I did for the Academy Award.
That's right.
For the people, yeah.
Bare necessity.
And we do it here at the Latin Quarters, too. It's very nice.
How about doing it now?
Well, I'll sing you for a couple of lines. See, look for bare necessities. The simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities of Mother Nature's recipes to make the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be founder of my big home. The bees are buzzing in the trees to make some honey just for me. You look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants and maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you.
You knocked out the band there, Louie. They didn't even come in with you.
Yeah.
Well, now they got the feeling. Let's let them kick it off and have you do it again.
Oh, they'll come back later, you
all
know.
Right. Here we go. Louie Armstrong and the band, Bare Necessity.
Oh, wonderful. Necessities, simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities, Mother Nature's recipes. Make the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, couldn't be founder of my big home. The bees
bees are buzzing in the trees to make some honey just for me. You look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants and maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you. Look for the bare necessities, simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities, bare even necessities. Have the bare necessities of life. Just relax in my backyard. If you act like that bee acts, you're working too hard. Don't fill your time just looking around for something you want that can't be found. You'll find out you can live without it and go along not even thinking about it. Tell you something true, the bad necessities of life will come to you.
Louis Armstrong and Bare Necessities. We'll hear more of Willis Conover's interview with Louis Armstrong in just a moment. First, though, the frequencies VOA will use to broadcast the Willis Conover Tribute Concert at 23 hours Universal Time this evening for our listeners in the Americas, Western Europe, and Western Africa. That will be Thursday morning for VOA listeners in all other parts of the world. If you live in East Asia or Oceania, tune to 7215-9705-9770, 11760, 15185, 15290, 15305, 17735, or 17820 kilohertz shortwave. Listeners in South Asia, the Middle East, and Europe can hear the concert on 5985, 7185, 7205, 7255, 9615, 9650, 9745, 11810, or 11905 kHz shortwave, and 792 kHz medium wave. VOA listeners in Africa should set their radios to 5960, 6035, 6080, 6170, 7110, 7340, or 7415 kHz shortwave, and 909 or 1530 kHz medium wave. For our listeners in the Americas, 5995, 6130, 7405, 9455, 9670, 9775, 11695, 11930, 13740, or 15155 kHz shortwave, and 930 kHz medium wave. The concert will also be broadcast live on the VOA Europe network. That's 23 hours Universal Time, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, depending on where you live. Now back to our Jazz Hour program on Willis Conover, the man and his music, and his 1968 interview with Louis Armstrong. Willis Conover asks Mr. Armstrong about his plans to work with Barbara Streisand on the motion picture version of Hello, Dolly.
Louis Satchmo Armstrong. Louis, what have you been doing lately?
Well, and still blowing and singing for the folks, you know? And we're right here at the Latin Quarters and having a ball. And these audiences are just something wonderful. And we leave right from here and we go into Hollywood to do Hello, Dolly with Barbara Streisand. At least I am, you know?
Now, in heaven's name, why would they want Louis Armstrong in Hello, Dolly?
No, I guess they just want me just get in there, you know, and wail a few choruses or so, you know.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's a funny thing when they take the road companies of Hello, Dolly out on the road, people say, come up afterward to the star and say, where was Louis Armstrong?
Yeah, they think I'm in the show.
Yeah, but you will be in the movie.
Well, I'm in the movies, yeah. It's going to be nice because I've rehearsed the arrangement of Hello, Dolly. It might be a finale. It's a long deal, you know. And Barbara and I, we all in there. Something nice. I think it's going to be a good arrangement because Lenny Hidden is the director and Gene Kelly. I mean, Lenny Hidden is the musical director. He's got the orchestra. And Gene Kelly is the director of the picture. So all my cats are there, you know, and I know all the musicians in the band, so when we rehearse for us, music's flying everywhere. It's so pretty, you know?
Well, Bob, how about warming up for the theme song of Hello, Dolly now?
Okay. Hello, Dolly.
All right, and with accompaniment. Here we go.
Oh, it's nice to have you back where you belong.
Hello, Dolly. This is Louis, Dolly. Mighty glad you're back where you belong. You're looking swell, Dolly. I can tell, Dolly. Keep blowing, you're still going strong. I feel the room swaying, the band playing. Old favorite tunes way back when, yeah. Take a breath, fellas. And do an empty lap, yeah. Now they never go away
Satchmo Armstrong from a 1968 interview. Like everyone, Willis Conover had his favorites, and anyone who listened to Willis over a period of time knew that his favorite jazz artist was Duke Ellington. In this 1973 interview, Willis asks the Duke about some honors that had recently been bestowed on him.
Yes, I have been rather lucky. People have heard that, you know, people who listen, they know. And when they hear that I know Willis Conover, then, of course, they say encore, s'il vous plaît.
Well, I hope that you'll build on that, Duke, with the The doctorate and the presentation from the President of France.
Oh, yes, the Legion d'Honneur. And then, of course, there was the Columbia University doctorate and the Wisconsin doctorate. And this year, and one from Fisk University, and one from Clark University in Atlanta. And then, there have been, I've been very, very lucky, you know, the St. John's out in Long Island, Yale, and I forget how many they are, but they're all wonderful. And the Wisconsin follow-up to the presentation of the honorary degree was a week of our concerts, playing a different concert every night and having lecture demonstrations, clinics, and classes in the afternoon, which was really a tremendous thing, you know.
Are you impressed by what the young musicians are doing in the schools, the school orchestras these days?
Oh, yes, they're wonderful. We have many good musicians coming out. Wonderful young musicians. We've got wonderful teachers.
Well, wonderful guests. That helps, too.
I suppose so. Yeah, I've seen some wonderful people there who were guesting.
Well, when you were guesting as a sort of guest instructor, guest lecturer, and so forth, how did you direct your instructions to the student musicians, briefly?
What would I say? I mean, you say what you say to someone who has a talent. Is to follow the talent and pursue it, your quest from your own perspective, and apply yourself to it. And that's the main thing about people being drawn away from their natural inclinations in the art. They may sometimes, say, decide upon music, and someone will draw them away from what they really want to do in music, because it may not be the thing that's going to pay off in money or something like that. So that's very bad for the person who's in it.
I know that from time to time, when you have an afternoon off, you will get the musicians and the orchestra and get into a studio and record something that is current in preparation for offers of contracts from recording companies. And I'm just wondering what has been done recently that we might be able to look forward to seeing on record.
Oh, we're always doing something, you know. It's a lot of stuff stacked up in the warehouse and in the library.
Well, since we happen to be at a piano, could you demonstrate the theme from one of them?
You're a real optimist, aren't you?
Yeah. Always believe in being optimistic.
Oh, I'm an optimist, too.
I know.
Well, I'm not really optimistic enough to believe that Little Dookie is going to reach back in his head and pull out something.
All right.
I think it was...
What's that called, Dave?
Oh, I don't know. What is it called? I don't even know what they... All about things have sort of temporary four-letter words. Is
love.
Actually, it's usually an abbreviation of something.
All right, I'll look for the label to find out what the title is going
to
be.
You better, right?
All right.
We're listening to a 1973 September interview between Willis Conover and Duke Ellington. The program continued with a friendly competition where the Duke played a portion of one of his songs while challenging Willis to locate and play the recorded version. As we'll hear, Duke Ellington was no match for his biggest fan.
What about for the remainder of this program? Give me titles of records from any era, and we'll fill out the program with records of your choice.
Well, records, let me see now. What would I say? Let's see now, there's one. I forget the names of these things.
Pick out the melody and I'll find the record. Thank you. Well, Duke, will you trust my taste to select records by
I
you?
I certainly would, because that's what they told me in the Soviet Union. They says, you know, your friend Willis Conover says he really plays your best things, you know. And I said, well, I was very happy to hear it. And they have them there, you know. And they were, because of you, they were very good to me.
I have no comment because I could only try to top you in graciousness, and that is a fruitless endeavor.
Well,
so
I'm just a little honest boy, that's all. Sweet kid, you know, but honest.
Our thanks for so many things, more than I would have time to elucidate. I should have prepared this, and I didn't. To the man who has brought America to the world by way of its music as created and shaped by him, Duke Ellington.
Thank you very much, Willis. That's awfully gracious of you, and as usual, you are the gracious host, and it's been a complete joy being here with you. And, of course, it's been instructive as well. And as we say good evening or good morning or whatever time this is, why, please tell all of your lovely listeners that we do love them madly.
Ellington performing I'm Beginning to See the Light. Except for one brief conversation, that interview was the last time Willis spoke with the Duke before Ellington's death in 1974. I'm David Boddington. I hope you've enjoyed our special two-part look at Willis Conover, the man and his music. Don't forget the live tribute concert in honor of Willis Conover at 23 hours Universal Time. Tonight, tomorrow morning, here on The Voice of America. And tomorrow, another Music USA Jazz program from the archives of Willis Conover. Thank you for listening.